A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. This half hour is always an opportunity when Wayne and I discuss issues of race that make their way to the local papers for you to be part of it. We want to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions, and your answers. 203-333-9422 is our number. Wayne Winston, welcome back. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Lisa.
Wayne, I want to begin with a story in the Stanford Advocate with a little bit of history behind it. We've been talking for quite a while about the controversy surrounding Tara Figueroa as the leader of the Trumbull Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, the various trials and tribulations that happened as a result of a social media posting, and that was in response to some black kids in Trumbull that put some signs around people's homes, and she thought that it was an overreaction to go after them the way they did, and it went back and forth and back and forth. And in the end, the town council in Trumbull decided to just take a pause and figure out who should lead this commission, which just began in 2020. So according to the Stanford Advocate, the town will now have two co-chairs. One is a Democrat and one is a Republican as a result of a town council meeting on August 2nd. And the majority town council Democrats voted with the Republican members to approve two Republican town committee members to the task force. So the Democrats will now have a co-chair who was an assistant principal at a Meriden high school named Andrea Fonseca, who has stated her belief that the group has an essential mission. And I believe that she is quoted as being a, quote, woman of color. I don't know what color she is, but I guess when someone is a woman of color, they are non-white. She said the recent dust-up on social media regarding the task force was concerning, and she moved to Trumbull with her children because she liked the schools. But she said that the tone of some of the posts on social media had her worried, and being part of the task force was her way of ensuring that the town continued to be inclusive for all children. And then there was a conversation about Dee Dee Robinson, a black Republican man running for a town council seat. Apparently some of his remarks engendered controversy. He said racism was not the most pressing social concern in town. He criticized community hatred coming from intra-racial crime. And he actually said that he thought that the aftermath of slavery, that there were some good things to come out of it, including African-Americans struggling to attain racial equality. So that's my summary, Wayne Winston. You live in Trumbull. What do you make of the way Trumbull as a town is handling the diversity, equity, and inclusion issue?
Well, I'm happy, one, that they finally got to at least get it moving. And it's unfortunate how it went for Tara, because she was an absolute great leader. And, you know, the thing with the whole, you know, kids picking up flags because during the George Floyd, I want to say fervor, but during people's activism back in, you know, in July, they removed some long signs, and basically the people in Trumbull just called them all kind of animals and so on. And she defended them and basically said, hey, if you're going to put a blue lives flag out, then, hey, it may as well be the Confederate flag based upon what was happening at the time, which the white supremacist groups, which wound up showing up with blue flags down there in Washington, we saw them on January 6th, people were offended by it. So they basically called it a day. Then later on, they used that 6 months later to challenge her when she gives the first report for the Edit Committee, which is the Equity Diversity Task Force. So I want to make sure that everyone understands that was what that was about. And some people in Trumbull still didn't know until we were having these online discussions. So that's what it's about. She's defending children and just putting some focus on that. Now, that being said, as we move on and go like, well, what was the answer? Because we lost so many people on the committee, they decided to appoint two co-chairs. And Andrea is an amazing person. She is a principal in Meriden, as the newspaper article says, but she's very active, and she's on a lot of the Facebook pages and so on, challenging and trying to bring some civility to some of these comments. There's some crazy comments that we have on our sites. There's no question about it. And the interesting thing, I know she's going to do a great job. On the other side, you have Didi, who's a black man who doesn't believe that racism exists. And he's posted this many times. So we don't have to guess. He literally posted. In fact, he says at the meeting, during this whole thing, I mean, it's like he says he's running for office town council seat. He was criticized when he called community hatred stemming from interracial crime during a back and forth with the council. So yeah. He actually talks about how he dislikes how the legacy of slavery has been politicized and how the positive aspects of the aftermath of slavery weren't discussed. Yes, the positive aspects of the aftermath of slavery weren't discussed. Now, that's his words. And Joy Colon, who is the only black town committee, said, "I'm sorry, did you say the goodness of slavery? Is that what you said?" And then he replies, "Oh, I meant the aftermath of slavery as an African-American struggle to attain racial equality." Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
But he's a black guy. He's a black guy, and he is running. And is he a member of the diversity committee, or is he a member of the town council? Because he was voted to be on something. I thought he was voted on the town council by a vote, I think, of 13-6 in that article. But does that mean he's on the edit committee, or he's not on the edit committee?
My understanding is that he's on the edit committee.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on the edit committee. Right. He's also running for a seat.
And Tara Figueroa is still on the edit committee, but she's no longer chair, or is she out completely?
No, Tara is on the edit committee, but, you know, just in a regular role. And, you know, she's happy that it continued. You know, she was the first person of color and so on appointed.
All right. And Janine Stouter is the Republican co-chair, and apparently she is a therapist. And she says that she knows how to get people to listen to each other. And she said, while she never saw racism, the very fact that the task force exists shows there is a need for it. So, look, it looks like the town is still committed to this edit committee, Wayne. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Well, I think that there is, right now you have more people involved who said they want to have a bipartisan situation, which is why there was more Dems, and the Dems voted with a couple of Republicans to put that in. My problem is that if you have someone who says they're opposed to what your mission is, then why would you appoint them? You know, Didi is well known for saying he doesn't believe in racism. He doesn't believe in systemic racism. Why? But he puts it out there in writing for months, all of these people, so you get an idea where they're coming from. So if there was a moderate person, I get it. It doesn't matter that he's black. He doesn't represent the experience of the masses of Americans, including President Obama and any other people like us. So there's always an exception to every rule. I actually met a guy, Jewish guy, who didn't believe that the Holocaust happened. I think people would have a problem with that. So you wouldn't put him on a committee to, you know, deal with situations. Of course, yeah, hey, maybe he'll become enlightened. But that's kind of, well, no, that is what they did. So in the end, we're hoping that they'll find a way maybe that they can change the minds, make some bridges. But, you know, in other eyes, it looks like it's infiltration, you know, to circumvent.
What do you mean by that, Wayne? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by infiltration? What do you mean by that?
Well, if you have people that aren't committed to the cause and they don't believe in equity or diversity or in racism, how can you serve on a committee that actually seeks to balance that, to see that it's being applied within the system, because that's what they're there for. Where's the inequity in the high schools, in the college, or in hiring? Or, you know, as we're going through these things at the Board of Education, we're, you know, just in trouble again. They have this whole thing with the whole critical race theory thing. I mean, if that's what you're going to do, you have to at least believe that what you're standing there for is the thing that you're fighting for. So that's my struggle. I get bipartisanship, but in the end, when...
You know what's so interesting about this, Wayne? So you know what's interesting? I'm really listening to you, and this is what's interesting about our conversation in general. You come at things from the point of view as an advocate, which I respect. By the way, as a lawyer in my life for so many years, that's all I did was advocate. But I come at things now from a point of view of being a judge, which is to say, I don't make up my mind until I hear the evidence, right? So what I'm hearing from you, which is just very important, I think, is what you're saying is that the edit committee is an advocacy committee. And therefore, everybody on it should be committed already to advocacy for equity, diversion, and inclusion. You see that as the purpose and the reason for the committee. I bet that there are other people in town, I could be wrong, who see this committee as something that is not necessarily just about advocacy, but is about advocacy after fact-finding. And that maybe what they're, and again, I don't know how much they've gone into their mission and how they see their mission, right? But there might be people who would want to be on that committee to survey and see and analyze and assess before advocating. And so that to me would allow room for people on the committee who didn't necessarily have the advocate's mind made up about it already. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a little bit different in terms of the mission, but I totally respect what you're saying, because what you're saying is you believe that these committees were set up to advocate and already make policy. And I'm saying, I don't know, maybe not everybody views it that way.
Well, I think I'm glad you brought that up, because see, this clarification we're having right now is important. The edit committee's job is to assess. It's to look at all of these things. It is to be in depth, meet with the city comptroller, work with the Board of Education, you know, throughout the process, and then come back with the suggestions where they see something wrong. It isn't to, you know, hold a litmus paper there to go, hey, this is what you should have done. It is that very thing we're challenged with right now. When we try to talk about race, you know, there's people say, well, there's no systemic racism, so why should we talk about racism? Well, there's got to be some somewhere. You know, I mean, it's such a slippery slope right here, but you have to be open to believe that exists.
Yes, that you must. That's like any judge. You must be open. You shouldn't serve on the edit committee unless you have an understanding that while you may not know of certain facts, you have to be open-minded that if they are brought before you, you have to respond to them 100%. So I hear what you're saying. So you're saying a guy like Dee Dee, you're saying a guy like Dee Dee Robinson has already basically prejudged his own conclusion. As far as you're concerned, he's decided that there is no problem. That's what you're saying. And therefore he wouldn't be open-minded.
Oh, he said it over and over again. I mean, it's well known within the town. Like, you know, the people in your town, how they feel, you know, they'll make it clear to you. So, he's made it clear. And because he's a black guy, I mean, honestly, so that's why Republicans lean that way. And so on. It's like he's bringing our wishes forward, our interests forward. Now, I'm not saying there aren't moderate Republicans here, ones who feel that way. But unfortunately, I'm just saying that there's people who don't want this thing to work, just as they don't want diversity in our communities or to even talk about Black Lives Matters. There's a whole big thing going on in the state now. Guilford, it's happening out in Fairfield. They get letters all over the place. I get texts from people saying, thanks for talking about this, educators, because there is an underground far-right movement that wants no discussion even of slavery of this country. You know, if they want a patriotic history, and they're fighting real hard to get it, and they're getting on boards of education to fight what the state of Connecticut has already deemed is what our curriculum will be, not CRT, but a culturally inclusive education, not CRT.
Right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back with more with Wayne Winston coming up. We invite your comments and questions, 203-333-9422. Before we come back, I want to give a shout out to the beautiful Libela. Libby Lezahovich, is that a great name? Libby Lezahovich. And she is the 8-year-old deliciousness that is part of my family that has been taking care of Yofi and Shayna for 2 weeks. And I love her so much. And I want to wish her a Yom Huledet Sameach. forever and ever and many, many more. A happy, happy birthday, my sweetheart, and many more. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming right up.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
So I just want to amend something. Libby has been with me in the house for the last couple of weeks with her parents, Zavit and Meir. This is my family from Israel. And Zavit's last name is Lazarovich. So, of course, I said Libby Lazarovich. However, Libby's last name is Libby Eunice, Meir's last name. So can you imagine? So happy Yom Huledet, my sweetheart, to you, Libby Eunice. But one day, maybe you'll be Libby Lazarovich Eunice, and that's okay, too. I love you so much. I have to tell you, Wayne, I got this new puppy, Yofi. And I would not have been able to take care of Yofi. This is the God's honest truth. I planned it this way. Unless I knew that Libby, specifically Libby, the 8-year-old who wants to be a veterinarian, was coming. Because every morning when I'm on the air with you, she has been playing with the puppy in the kitchen. And I'm begging them not to go back to Israel. I know they have to be quarantined when they get back there. I don't want them to leave. I'm so lucky. Am I lucky. So lucky.
I had a chance to meet your family during the summer at the Juneteenth event. And one,
you did?
Yes,
that's
they
right.
Were wonderful, wonderful people. I still have the picture over here. I'll send it over to you if you need a reminder.
Please.
And Libby, happy birthday. Great family, you know, and that's what it's all about. And what distresses me when we have these discussions, we're supposed to have these conversations. That's what this whole thing, that's why we march across the planet in the globe. You know, mm-hmm. We have to get past the things that we don't like talking about, which is the residual effects of the discrimination that was legal.
You're right.
You know, you can't say that it didn't matter that we were, you know, labeled property, and for over 100 years, you know, we had no opportunity to the wonderful things that the rest of America has. And later on, you know, the redlining and all of this stuff that comes out. I mean, it's just absurd. Just like,
you know, Wayne, I have to tell you, my new favorite show, and I told you about an episode a couple of weeks ago, but I just watched another one with Apatha Murkerson, you know, that wonderful actress who was on Law and Order for so many years.
Yes.
So my new favorite show, and we got to get Henry Louis Gates on to talk about it, is the Ancestry show. What's it called?
Yes.
What's it called? I forgot it. Roots. Maybe it's Roots, something like that with Roots. Anyway, and he and his team go through these amazing family trees of people. But doing so, I think if I was a social studies teacher, that those television shows, I would be assigning essays to read and to watch those shows and talk about it and have people do their own family trees. I think that the secret to building bridges and empathy and understanding is when we actually look at our own family trees. I really do. I think that's what it's about. Because that's where the history comes alive. That's where the stories come out of the textbooks and they become about you and your people. And, you know, particularly for this woman, Apatha, you know who else they did? Michael, what's his name, with the gap teeth on ABC. You know, Michael, that wonderful football player. Michael Strahan, they did his family too. And half his family is white. And that was fascinating for him. They were people that built Texas. They were really big in building Texas. And when you realize that we are all part of the tapestry of human beings, I mean, that's how racism is going to be going away. I think it's the only real way that it goes away.
We are imperfect people. It's an imperfect world. And our stories are important because that's where you get compassion and understanding. And if we can't do that, America can't admit mistakes and people don't want it to, then that's where the problems come in. And I want you guys to just Google or go to Wikipedia, look up Richard Spencer, and see that's the stuff we're really fighting. His mindset is all throughout this country. Richard, just the way it sounds, Spencer, spelled like Spencer's gift. And that's some homework for you. So you just know we're not crazy, or I'm not crazy, and the folks around. I would love for the Republican Party to understand it. Like, that guy, those people that are under their umbrella is what hurt them in the black and brown, meaning Latino and everything else community. There's a few exceptions to the rule. But as a whole, You can't have people who don't believe in gay rights and black rights, and we should still be separated. You just can't have that and say it's okay and think that you'll get the support you need over here. You know, that's just totally insane. And some of this is voter suppression stuff. We could do better. And I think America is way better. And that's what they're afraid of. People are good. When you hear about their stories and you get to like them and know them, it changes everything. As long as we stay on the other side of the fences, we're going to be having a problem. And I know we got to go, but that story that was in Fairfield with the feces that was rubbed on the daycare center.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get more about that from the woman who wrote the article, but she told me this morning she doesn't have any more yet for me on the story.
It's horrible. It's a daycare center. You know, those are children. You know, and people bring their kids, and you're right in Fairfield, you know, some, and you can call them ding-dongs, whatever, decided they're going to smear feces on it and write racial slurs on a daycare. How safe would you feel if that's your kid, especially if your kid was a person of color because it said racial slurs? So, you know, it's not
on
real
Mona Terrace in Fairfield. That's all we could get is a little bit. Hopefully, actually, I asked the editor, Anna Schreier, to do a little bit more digging. She's doing a little bit more digging now for the Fairfield Patch, and if she's got more info, she'll report to us tomorrow. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you so much,
Thank
Wayne Winston,
Lisa.
For being on
Thank
the show.
You.
We'll see you
all
next Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
Sure. We'll be back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show tomorrow.
We can remember that deep down inside we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find if we